Podcast, and I did Meerkat last week as I was recording, and Periscope is out now too, so I am broadcasting from both of those. So, you know, I got my little iPhone and my iPad. I found a good way to put them to work. So for the folks that listen to the podcast, what I do is I record it, I mix it down, and I try to get it out as soon as possible. But if you're on But if you want to see me do that live without me being able to fix anything and get to see how crazy I look, you can always tune in to Meerkat or to through Periscope. I think they both cool platforms, and it's just a lot of money out there, man. It's a lot of opportunity for folks, and I just want to see more of our folks taking advantage of it. So that's one of the reasons that I'm using it. One of the biggest things that I saw this week that I wanted to speak on, and I might speak on it again with one of my homies because we was talking about it, but Dame Dash. So, you know, Dame Dash of Rockefeller fame started Rockefeller with, it was him, Biggs, and Jay-Z. And they had a strong team for a long time. And then what happened is that things kind of went sour, you know, and folks went their separate ways. Biggs ended up in jail. Dame had some highly publicized run-ins with like tax folks, and just had a string of bad luck, or that's what the media made it look like. And Jay-Z has gone on to be Jay-Z, and he was on The Breakfast Club, which is a radio show out of New York, and he basically went in on DJ Envy, the host, because they had a conversation around being a boss. And you know, Dame Dash has this reputation of, you know, he's a real cocky dude, you know, and he likes to scream on people. He's been screaming on people his entire career. And, you know, when I say scream on people, it's like overtalk them, you know, kind of try to punk them a little bit. And so, you know, he did that with Envy. Envy was basically talking about how he liked, you know, he enjoyed his job and going to work and things like that. And Dame was basically saying, you know, that's whack. It's whack if you got a boss. Like, you know, you need to own your own stuff and be your own boss. And he would say things to Envy and the other folks in the room like, yo, like, me calling another man boss is like me calling them daddy. And he just kept saying those things, and he just kind of really went over with it. So I wanted to comment on it because, for one, it was a funny interview. Like, Dame Dash is mad funny. And two, I think that, you know, sometimes the messenger can be a little bit crazy, but it's an interesting message in it. So first off, I think Envy, you know, held his own well. I think that there was some more that he wanted to say and do, and he just couldn't do it. I think that Envy was more concerned with keeping his job than feeling the need to flex back up on Dame. But two, I think that what Dane was saying around, I think the entrepreneur spirit is dope. I think that there's something freeing about being able to be an entrepreneur. I mean, there are things that, you know, I took that route and tried to do it, and, you know, but betting on yourself, and that can be tough. there's a lot of risk that comes with that, right? Like, there's a lot of it's just hard, right? So, you know, and I think that we tend to hear a lot about the success stories, but I mean, you can lose it all. Like, I lost a lot of money in the thing that I was trying to do, and it was really stressful, and it kind of wasn't what I really wanted to do the way I was doing it anyway. But it was a strong lesson, and I think at some point, you know, I do want to continue to run like my own thing. I think on some level, you know, this podcast and the writing and me traveling the country and speaking is me kind of living out that entrepreneurial dream without all of the pressures of that being my sole income, so I can't really take care of myself. It was interesting because Daniel was just talking about, you know, like he needed to be a boss and all these things, and he, you know, he had people that was in there that was working for him. He was kind of like screaming on his own people and dissing his own folks without really recognizing it and doing it. And I think the other thing is that it's Dame Dash. I think that's something that makes it more, it just makes it funnier, right? Because like Dame was just in and out of the news so much about owing people money and things getting repoed and all that stuff. And, you know, he talked about how they started Rockefeller. And it was just really interesting, man. And so I don't want to dive into it too much because I just wanted to give my opinion on it. But my boy, we talked about it, and I want to do that with him because it was something that we spoke on. He had some family things to take care of, and he couldn't be here tonight or hop on Skype so we can do it. So I want to say that topic for him. But I think that goes a little bit into what I was talking about around, you know, my own writing and my own speaking. So right now I am in the process of writing a new article and working on my book. And I just been having a whole bunch of excuses and reasons why that wasn't moving forward. But basically what I've done is I take parts of the things that I'm writing for the book or articles, and then those turn out to be like the things that I'm going to that I'm gonna speak on when I like travel, right? And I talk to young people. And so, you know, with that, you know, my process is I start out with a sentence of what I want to kind of get out there. So let me be transparent, right? One of the articles that I'm working on, and I don't know if it's gonna really work yet, it might not come out, but there are three stages that we operate in, whether it's in life, whether it's in school, whether it's at work, whether it's in relationships. And I call those three phases, I don't know if this is gonna work, but existing, surviving, and thriving, right? And so a friend of mine, a mentor of mine I had lunch with not that long ago, I was bouncing this off of him, and he called those three stages the feeling, dealing, and healing. I thought that was kind of snappy. I don't know if it's really gonna sound like my voice, but I don't know, maybe I'll incorporate it in there. I have no problem accepting feedback or people's ideas. It is not, I got ego, but it ain't around that type of stuff. So, but this whole notion of existing, surviving, and thriving, it just reminded me of like growing up or like really reflecting on the things that I saw, what my parents went through, or you know, the things that I've gone through, whether, like I said, in life or when I was in school or whatever, right? So the existing phase is just, you just here. Like, you are just, like, you got born, or, you know, you got into that college, or you got hired at that job. Like, that's what you work to do, you know. You just dated and, like, you was in somebody's stomach for 9 months, and you was trying to fight your way to get up out of there, just to exist, just to be here, just to not be dead, to be alive, right? And so that's a phase where you are just like there, you trying to learn kind of the ropes, you just trying to learn what the culture is. So, you know, you learning how to, if it's at a job, you getting the basics. When the timesheets due? What is my role? What is, you know, what do I need to be doing? Who is my boss? Who are my coworkers? If it's in school, it's like, where are my classes? Like, how am I, you know, whatever, right? If it's in life, it's just like, all right, well, this is where I go to school, this is where I live, you know, these are people that's on this block. And then there's a place that you get when you pass that, right? And there's this place of surviving. And so like on the streets, you know, what survival can look like is a bunch of things. So, you know, for my pops, on some level, he felt that survival was, you know, trying to sell drugs to make or to hustle to make sure that, you know, we had a place to live or, you know, we could eat, right? Or it was using drugs because you just needed to deal with whatever it was that you was dealing with. Or, I mean, think about like a hooker, right? She's doing the things that she's doing because she feels that she needs to survive. And that may require her to do some other things that take her to a different place. So it's not a surprise that somebody that's a prostitute that's out on the stroll needs to be high to do the things that they need to do. Or at work, it's that survival mode is when you chronically late for things, or you're not turning in your work, or you just don't really have a handle, or you sinking and you just worried about, you know, having a job. In a school setting or a college setting, it could be, you know, I'm just trying not to fail these classes. And what it is, it's just a mentality where it's a very nuanced mentality, right? It's a mentality where you're saying, these are things I need to do so this doesn't happen. So I need to do these things so I don't die. I need to do these things so I'm not hungry. I need to do these things so I'm not fired. And that's that surviving phase. But then there's a thriving place, right? And I think in life, that's where you kind of realize what your purpose is. Like, so for me, everything that I've done, you know, past the age of 19 and 20 has been, you know what, this is my purpose. God put me here to, you know, I went through all the things I went through so I can share something of value with young people. It gives me a certain credibility. So when I'm talking to a kid that's about to make a decision that's going to have him, that might have him on the streets, or, you know, or maybe that kid was homeless, it's like, well, bro, I've been homeless. And it allows me to talk to people in a certain type of way. So my purpose is to add value to folks who had similar lives that I had, right? And so that's helped me out. That's led me to being like a social worker. That's led me to being, you know, a youth worker or somebody that worked with teachers. And now somebody that works at a youth focused nonprofit yet again, right? Or the what I write, right? All of those things circle around the experiences that I have and how do I convert that into something positive for somebody else. And so I think that I would say personally that I teeter in between survival and thriving. And I think that this is a cycle where it's constantly shifting and changing, right? So for instance, you could be thriving at one job or in one position, and then you do that position real well. And because you did well, we promote you. And so now you're going through that process all over again, and you got to figure out how to get to thriving. So that's one way to kind of look at things. And so now let me bring that like back to a different level, right? So when there's a point, like it's hard to be on somebody's corner and like selling weed if you realize or you thinking real hard about what your purpose is. I'm not gonna say it's impossible because that's not my lifestyle, right? And I can't really speak to that. But there's a difference between having like a nihilistic worldview and things not really mattering, you know? And so, or having like a feeling like you have a greater purpose and are in pursuit of understanding what that purpose is. Now listen, it's hard to even realize that that part exists when you at the lower rung of Maslow, right? It's like, I need food, I need shelter, I need security. And so a lot of people that I grew up with or that I know, or even folks in my own family, they don't realize there's a third stage. They just teeter between existing and surviving, surviving and existing. And what that led to is a lot of stuff that I went through in college where it's like, I have family members who like, yo, I need help with this. I need help with the diapers, or like, I'm not doing that school thing. I'm about to do this, you know, get money, smoke weed, let's do it, right? And it's because if you don't feel like there's nothing better, if you feel like, if you can't see the value in who you are, there you will never even realize that there's like that stage of thriving that you can kind of work toward. So I'm still working on that article. I don't know if I can make that work simply enough for a Huffington Post article. and then how to turn that into, you know, and then I need to turn that into material that I use when I go out and I do my next wave of talks. And all of the things that I wrote start out like as jumbled as this. Like I'm really aware of where that stuff was that I just said, right? It's still pretty fragmented. But it's been hard to come up with like a new thing to write about. I mean, I feel like the things that I wrote about earlier and that I've been traveling talking on are still relevant. So my article on Applaud with Caution, I feel that article is just still as relevant now as it was when I wrote it. And I still continuously have conversations about it. People will read that or stumble upon that article and then email me and I'll come out and we'll speak on that. Or, you know, when I wrote about what an energy converter is, I mean, that's something that I just kind of live my life by. And basically that notion is things happen like energy. You know, if you a science head, a science buff, like, you know that you can't stop energy. So whether that's positive energy, negative energy, energy is just going to exist. You can't. So, for instance, I was an angry child. I mean, I still kind of deal with that, right? Like, there's just something inside of me and I was just always mad. And it happens with like a lot of black boys. I'm sure it happens with other kids as well. I can't speak to them. I can speak to my experience. And folks would like try to get me to not be mad. And that never worked because you can't stop that energy. But what you can do is you can help me redirect it, right? Like, so what I was able to do is I took all that anger, all that hate, that rage that I had inside of me, and I focused it on whether it was basketball or school or winning at something. So I'm extremely competitive and I just take that fire. Like, I have to be doing something. I have to feel like I am progressing, right? And so, like, but not to spend too much time on what that article is, the point is that I've written a bunch of stuff in the past and, you know, I didn't want to rewrite the same article. And so I was just inspired to write about these three various levels that may change. It may only be two levels, it may be four levels or whatever. But that's where my mind is. And so I want to, so what that process is I start to talk it out. I start talking with people and I'm just taking notes, or I'll go out like to my little sushi restaurant that I went to tonight and just jot down my thoughts, or go around the lake and just jot down thoughts. This is the moment where you see me with my black little moleskin or whatever you call it, a notebook. It just is always with me and I'm just always just jotting down different things. I turn that into like something and publish it and like read what people are saying about it, how people are reacting to it, and then I turn that into, you know, my talking points for when I go out to places like Rhode Island or Tampa or wherever to have like to do these talks. But that's what I enjoy doing. Those are things that kind of speak to me. So I just kind of pulled the curtain back a little bit and let you know what that process is. But I mean, what's the I don't know. I think all of us are different. Like, I don't know what that thing is that kind of frees you. I don't know what that thing is that helps you get your frustration out. Because I am constantly frustrated. I am in a constant state of frustration. Even when I'm winning, I'm like frustrated. And it's not mean I'm not happy. I have a great life. I have I'm extremely blessed. Extremely blessed. I'm just not satisfied, right? And so they're just things that I want, and I believe it. I like to steal things from rap lyrics, but I think there was somewhere 50 Cent said, they want to win, I got to win. That's just how I really rock, right? And so it don't sound all that intense, but if you're friends with me or you know me or you work with me or you come in contact with me, you know it's extremely intense. And, oh, man, I'm like extremely honest with you all on here, because this is why I do the podcast. It's all for selfish reasons, right? The way I react to myself and the things I hold myself accountable to, it makes other people uncomfortable. So think about it. Like, if you and I are friends, person that's listening, person that's watching, right? Let me see who's on here. So Diego, if you and I are friends and we working on something and you could be working on your own thing, I could be working on my own thing, and you like around me, I'm around you, and I put something out, right? And we like both turn something in. I might look at it and I might be like, yo, this is crap, yo. Like, this is so whack. And I'm not talking about you. I don't know your work. I'm not even concerned about Diego in that moment, right? But Diego may have felt that his work was good, but because I'm dumping on my own stuff, that in turn I'm also dumping on Diego, and that makes other people uncomfortable. And one of the things that I have to learn how to balance, and I don't have to learn how to balance it, but I gotta learn how to balance on some level, is how do you not let your ambition and your drive have a negative impact on others? Or is that even your responsibility, right? I think that's an interesting way to look at things. I'm 31 years old. I can count the friends that I have on one hand, maybe two. Like, at this stage in my life, I'm not really interested in making new friends. I don't want to just, you know, alienate people either. But I also learned that I could have chose to have a bunch more friends earlier in life and still be in that rat race and not be where I want to be. I mean, I got so many folks that I grew up with that's just still doing the same stuff, still doing the same stuff that we was doing when we was 17, 18 years old. You know what I'm saying? Living with their parents. And it's just, so I could have made that choice, you know, but you lose people when you trying to like rock with stuff, when you trying to move forward. And I you know, my pride or my drive, whatever you want to call it, like, it's gotten me in trouble. Trust me, I have sacrificed some relationships. But this is the thing, right? It's like, the one thing that's gotten me as far as I've gotten, that got me out of like the holes that I was in, was, you know, my whole feelings of self-worth and like that pride, that foolish like pride that was just like, nah, wait, that person can do it? Oh, then I can definitely do it. Or no, I'm about to beat this person. This person may be bigger, faster, stronger, you know, richer, but they not about to outwork me. And I'm going to give everything I got to beat that dude. Like, I'm willing to like collapse in this race, right? And it's hard to alienate that drive, because that drive got you to where I am. So the cost of that is that sometimes, you know, you don't go as far in relationships with folks as you could. And I don't mean just like romantic relationships, but that's definitely, you can definitely add that. That's just any person you come in contact with, there is some type of relationship being established, whether it's just a friendship, an acquaintance, or whatever. And I just believe that all relationships have to, they're reciprocal, right? There is an exchange of something. And it's not like, I'm not saying it in a selfish way, but like, I have friends that are close to me, and like, there are things that we give each other. So there's assurances, there's like caring and love and all that stuff. And that stuff goes back and forth. And where you run into those issues is where, when one person or both people are not receiving anything out of that relationship, it's time to sever that relationship, right? People that know me know, like, when they ask me about relationships that have ended, and they're like, oh, what happened? And I'd be like, that relationship had three stages, a beginning, a middle, and an end. And we've exhausted all of those stages. I've been saying that for a long time. So this is probably, I talked a lot today. And I didn't go over a whole bunch of like current events, but it's cool. I gave you real insight into how my brain works and how my writing process goes. And, you know, I've written like 40 pages, 50 pages before, and then I've like stopped and reread it, and not just like, oh, let me edit that down and like fix that. I've like thrown it out. I've ripped it up and thrown it out. Like, I've handwritten, and then from there I just didn't like it. So yeah, that's how I rock, man. It's weird. Yeah, it must be kind of hard to walk in my head for a little bit. My apologies to you people. My apologies. The other thing, if you know me, you know that I am a diehard Kentucky Wildcats fan. I'm not some new fan. I'm not Draking it where them boys just came up and now I'm friends with them. Right? I'm just like, oh, they're my homies. I don't do the bandwagon thing, B. I lived in Kentucky with my grandmother as a child, and Kentucky has no major sports team. So it is, you know, like high school football, and then like basketball just plays a real big part in everything that's there. So you either like a Kentucky fan or like a Louisville fan. I am a diehard, bleeding that blue blood Kentucky Wildcats fan. I went through the rough years with Tubby. Not that one year that he won a championship, because he had Rick Pitino's recruiting class. Tubby couldn't recruit. You say what you want. I don't know how you can't recruit with Kentucky, but yeah. So, you know, I definitely had a scare last night in that game. Notre Dame was knocking on the door. And Kentucky does that, man. I don't know. We got this whole plan down the competition thing, and no disrespect to Notre Dame. Notre Dame is a good team. They showed a lot of heart, man. But we should have ran those cats out the gym. There's nobody. Dude, we have a legit 5 or 6 NBA players. Maybe 8 of them going to go, right? And maybe like 4 of them can make some real noise in the NBA. You know, I don't know about superstars, but they can like have fruitful careers. We should be, anyway, they show up when they want to. But so you know that, I don't know if we're going to win that title. I don't know. It depends on which Kentucky team shows up. Dude, against Wisconsin, we can go to the wire and lose, or go to the wire and win, or we can like win by 40 points. Like, that's the type of skill that team has. I don't know. Shout out to Calipari for managing all those egos, because to get those kids to buy into that, you know, not getting the shine piece, that's a huge feat. But, you know, Calipari got haters, though. But anyway, I'm going to get up out of here. But I've enjoyed you all. I enjoyed talking with folks. I'm going to check out all the stuff that I got from Meerkat and Periscope, all the comments, whatever. And for you folks that are listening to the podcast, if you like it, share it. I would say subscribe, so, you know, it comes directly to you when, you know, I do them. You can tweet me at CColeIII. That's at CColeIII. It's the same on Instagram. I'm not hard to get in touch with. Or if you need to email me, it's the same at CCole. Well, not at. It's CColeIII@gmail.com. I answer all those emails. So I hope you all have a good week. I hope that you all tap into that greatness. You set goals and you go after those goals. Be hard on yourself while also giving yourself grace. Take care of yourself. Peace.
I grew up on the crime side, the New York Times side. Staying alive was no job. Had second hands. Moms bounced on old man. So then we moved to Shaolin Land. A young youth, you're rocking the gold tooth. Low goose. Only way I began to G York was drug loot. And let's start it like this, son. Rolling with this one and that one. Pulling out gats for fun. But it was just a dream for the team who was a fiend. Started smoking wools at 16. And running up in gates and doing hits for high stakes. Making my way on fire skates. No question, I was speed for cracks and weed. The combination made my eyes bleed. No question, I would flow off and try to get the go off. Sticking up white boys on ballboards. My life got no better. Same damn low sweater. Times is rough and tough like leather. Figured out I went the wrong route. So I got with a sick ass click and went all out. Catching keys from front seats. Rolling in MPVs. Every week we make 40 G's. Yo, nigga, respect my a nigga to check notch. Bow. Move from the gate now.
Cash moves everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill.